Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Old Testament reading of Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Thus far the text. The whole "because I said so" thing doesn't usually instill a whole lot of confidence in us, does it? More often than not, it causes a little bit of anger, some frustration, and a bunch of doubt. As a child, I used to hate when my parents would say that. I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there who know what I'm talking about. And I have to admit, as a parent, I have oftentimes used this very tactic. It's kind of nice just to end the conversation right then and there with that type of authority. "But why, Dad?" "Because I said so." And as a parent, I'm right. It is my right, at least. I have the authority to have that final say in the matter. What I say goes because I'm the one in charge. Bosses, they can do that too. At the end of the day, the buck stops right there at the top, and everyone underneath has to just deal with it. And yeah, we have to deal with it, but that doesn't mean we have to like it. Kids don't like it when parents say this. Employees certainly don't like it when bosses say this. And criminals, they don't like it when judges say this. But there's nothing to be done, really. The word has been spoken. Most of the time when we hear this in our daily lives, it's from the perspective of authority. The parent may be right or he may be wrong. It doesn't really matter. The authority is his. End of story. Bosses, too. Same with judges. They get to have the final word because the office that they sit in, because of who they are. And it's always frustrating for those in submission to the ones in authority. Because how can we be certain that the promise given is actually going to take place? I think the last 5 months has proven that more than any other time in recent history. There are so many variables that can happen. And perhaps that's why we're so skittish when we hear these types of words. How can I trust the promise that is given? Will my boss follow through? Will my parent follow through? Will the government follow through? Is it even in their control to do so? Sometimes promises seem so very outlandish that we know they will never be kept. The circumstances just don't seem to allow for what's being promised. Everything around us screams the exact opposite of what is guaranteed. So how can we be certain? How can we find comfort? Isaiah, he finds himself in an odd and weird situation. He is to declare the word of God in regard to things that haven't taken place yet. Destruction will come upon the people of Judah because of their unbelief, but it hasn't happened yet. The promise is that it will. But because it hasn't happened yet, it's difficult for those people to believe him. And Isaiah, he has more than just this law to speak. As God's instruments, he also has the gospel to proclaim. That's more important. He has the salvation found in Yahweh to proclaim. But why do the people need salvation? From whom do they need to be saved? They're sitting really quite pretty at this point in time. No need to listen to or believe these crazy and outlandish statements of this so-called prophet of God. Most of what Isaiah says seems to just be gibberish and ridiculous. Why would they give him the time of day? And for us, I dare say, when it comes to the word of our Lord, oftentimes it's the exact same. We hear God's promises, but sometimes they just seem too far-fetched to believe. Does God really understand what he's saying, because if he knew the situation that I was in, if he knew the trials and the difficulties that I'm facing each and every single day, if he really understood the craziness that's going on in our country and across the whole entire globe, he wouldn't be saying the words that he's saying. His promises just seem to be empty. He boasts, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Really, God? Really? Do you actually hear the words coming out of your mouth? What exactly is your purpose? Look at this world. Look at my life. Am I going to be saved from my enemies? Delivered from all the difficulties and trials and temptations? Is this what you purpose? Because it sure doesn't seem that way. In fact, it seems the exact opposite. It seems as if everything is outside of your control and you're just saying these things to make me feel better. Just think of a child going in for surgery. The parent wants to comfort the child and promise her the world. Promise her that everything is going to be all right, that she's going to wake up and everything's going to be fixed. And the child may believe this because she is a child, but you and I know different. You and I both know that the situation is completely outside of the parent's control. Now it's in the hands of the surgeon and the medical workers. And once on the operating table, and sometimes it seems to be this way with God. We hear his words, and yes, he does get to say them. But we know the reality of the situation. We really do. We're living it every single day of our life, and things look grim, and things look bad, and the promise kind of seems just a little bit empty, doesn't it? I believe you, Lord, but help my unbelief, because everything you're saying seems to be a giant lie. But there is a difference between a parent and God, between an earthly father and our heavenly one. While the words of you or me can never truly 100% guarantee anything, the word of our Lord can. Not only does he have the authority to make these statements, to promise these things, these promises, but his word actually creates and accomplishes what it says. The word is not descriptive, just describing things. It is prescriptive. It makes happen what it promises. And I know that's difficult for us to believe on our good days, when everything's going well and nothing bad is at our doorstep. But it is almost impossible to believe when our life is in shambles, when sin just keeps tearing us down, when Satan won't stop speaking his lies into our ears. These lies that sound so much more believable than the promises of God. The promises of God are almost impossible to believe when the diagnosis of cancer is positive. And when you have to sit in front of your loved one who's in a coffin. When you find yourself in a financial situation that's spinning out of control, when you wake up and your country is completely divided almost to its core with no guiding force moving it forward. Sometimes when God says, "I'm your God and you're my child and nothing can separate you from my love in Christ Jesus," those words are just too difficult to understand or to believe. But this is God. The God of all things, and he speaks this very word, this very promise to you, and it doesn't matter if you believe it. God's word accomplishes his purpose despite your fear, and despite your worry, and your doubt, and your unbelief, because it isn't contingent upon you. None of it is contingent upon you. It all depends on God. He's the one who created all things with his word. He spoke and it was. He spoke and there was light, and there were oceans, and there was land, and there was fish, and there was birds. He spoke and there was man, and there was you. And none of it had anything to do with you. He didn't need your faith to make it happen. It was because he said so. It was because his word did not return to him empty, but accomplished the very thing that he set it out to do. God said, and it was. God says, and it is. His word is creative. It doesn't describe, it makes and accomplishes and creates and does. And in all of this, we should be comforted. He says it, and it will be done. That should be enough, right? If God can create with his word, then he can do anything. And that's true. It's a simple fact, one that should be easy enough for us to grab onto and believe, but it isn't. For me, at least, that's not enough. I know that it should be, but I still doubt. I doubt because creation doesn't necessarily, I think, mean salvation for me. It doesn't necessarily mean forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. I can't help but think that just because God was able to do all of those things, is able to do all of those things, it doesn't mean that he will do all of those things just as he's promised. And then I look up and I find myself worrying that I'm one of those seeds scattered on the path or the rocky soil or amongst the thorns. Because truth be told, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the promises that he's laid out for me. What's to stop him, I think, from changing his mind? He could decide to leave me all alone, just to let my sin sit upon my head, to cast me away forever, and I can't do anything about that. Where's that comfort? And so, if the creative word isn't good enough, then the incarnate word is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The very Word that created all things, heaven and earth and you and me, is the very same Word who proclaimed the promises in our text for today, that the Word would accomplish everything that it was sent forth to do. And it's this very same Word who is incarnate, become one of us, took on our flesh, was sent from heaven to accomplish what was promised thousands of years before. The Son, the Word, became man, and he did not return to his Father empty. He accomplished everything that he was sent to do. He fulfilled the law with his work, defeated Satan through his crucifixion, sin through his death, and death through his resurrection. Nothing was left undone. All of it is finished, all accomplished, and it's all done for you. That's the promise that he gives to you today. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, has succeeded in accomplishing everything that needed to be done. He is the Word that went out from the mouth of the Lord. He did not return to the Father empty, but accomplished that which God purposed. He succeeded in the thing for which the Father sent him, and that thing was the cross and bearing your sin and going to the grave and dying your death and the resurrection and the ascension with all things placed under his feet. And it's this very Word that promises to you the victory over all of your enemies, even when it doesn't seem like it, over the sin that you commit and the sin that others commit against you and heap all of that shame upon your shoulders, over the death that kills your loved ones and the death that will someday come for you, over the demons that speak lies into your ears and even the devil himself that whispers promises that sound better than God's. But the truth is, God's word declares that all of his promises are yours. Right here, right now, in time and place even, That's his promise for you. The cross, where all the victory was won, where the word accomplished the very thing that he was sent forth to do, is yours today in a word proclaimed over you, and in a word of the gospel splashed on your foreheads, and a word of the gospel placed on your tongue. All of this is yours because the word of God did and said it. And so it is. Despite what the world tells you, or your sinful flesh fears, or the devil lies, it's all yours. Right here, right now. Every promise ever promised to you by your God through his word is yours, because his word, the word made flesh, Jesus the Christ, did not return to the Father empty, but succeeded in accomplishing everything for you. Case closed. End of story. The Lord has spoken. In the name of Jesus.